we can't do that. We can't do that. Hello, everyone. No, the truth of it is, and the shameless plug, my band 161 has a gig at Chummies in Ellsworth this week, and then Penobscot Poorhouse next Friday.
Yeah.
And we, being a bunch of middle-aged guys with children, don't see each other much to, what's it called? Practice. We used to see each other like twice a week, and then it was like, yeah, soccer. Yeah, I'm coaching it. Oh, well, I hope your kid wins. Well, they don't win. Oh, and then I had to be explained that whole thing. And now I'm living. Now we're getting there to, you know, to my own taxiing of my children around. And so, yeah. So, but good old-fashioned danceable rock and roll, both at Chummies and Poorhouse.
Fantastic.
And occasionally we play Seasons, and I'll let you know then, too.
Beautiful.
We're finishing up with Italy. And I had no idea how to finish up with Italy, much as I had no idea how to take care of all these vast tracts of open land that we've been talking about over the past couple of months. But I kind of finally stumbled on it, right? So, like, we were talking about the Piedmont area in the northwest. Then we talked about the northeast. We had Prosecco and Pinot Grigio and things like that. And then we had the Sangiovese belt, much like our Rust belt, but tastier. And now we're in I didn't coin this term, obviously, because I don't speak Greek or Latin or anything like that, but Magna Graecia. So this is this area that the Greeks back in like the 7th and 8th century before the Common Era said, Greece is just a little too constraining for us. We kind of got to get out of here. And similar to today, although I don't know if the results are similar, there was a lot of war, a lot of strife, a lot of people fleeing that. And they said, well, southern Italy looks good. And quite literally, all the lands that we're going to be talking about today, along the Adriatic Sea, and then, you know, to the heel of the boot and the toe of the boot, and then Sicily, were all absolutely taken over by Greek culture, and of course that included Greek viticulture.
Yeah, they called it Greeksit.
The Greeksit.
Yeah.
And which is bizarre because they didn't have 24-hour news networks then to even cover it.
Well,
but,
we don't think they did.
Yeah, but the papyrus scrolls that survived from that time was very, very heated. And they never thought it was going to go through. In the modern Italian, we call this area Mezzogiorno, so the midday. And this is like the super beautiful Mediterranean climate. Everything grows there, which is why the Greeks were so successful at coming over. And they brought all of these traditions, of course, including wine. And the other thing they brought, and this is something that kind of occurred to me, we'll talk about a couple of these, is they brought this tradition of stories and honest oral tradition of, you know, why this grape is planted here and why it's called this. And it continues today into our example wine, which is a very, very odd, funny little wine that I absolutely adore. And the story behind it is very bizarre. I'm going to sort of try to encompass all the land just to catch anybody up who'd be like, oh, well, he missed this. There's a couple of important places that I'll talk about before we talk about Sicily, which is where the wine we're tasting today came from. One of the other prominent tourist features and geographical features is Mount Vesuvius, which, of course, erupted and buried Pompeii, which you can still, of course, go to and see. These people basically frozen in ash. The ash proves to be a wonderful, wonderful soil type for grapes. Mm. And we'll see that also in Sicily with Mount Etna. One of the great stories and great wines that comes from this area is Lacrima Christi. Lacrima Christi means the tears of Christ. And they say that the grapes there are so good, and the grape is called Pietroso, because it's where Christ wept, because it's where Lucifer fell.
Wow.
And so his tears enrich the soil. Things like that. I just love it. Now, the Lacrima Christi is a wonderful little spicy wine. I highly recommend picking it up. Also from that area, you see the grape Alianico, which is made most famously under the wine Torrasi, but again, a wonderful wine for people who like, you know, grilled meat, stuff like that. It's just a, you know, nice medium kind of grippy wine. There's some wonderful white wines, Fiano, also Falanghina, which was, you know, directly traced to the Greeks, bringing that over with their early military engagements up here, down there rather, I should say, in southern Italy. They brought this and nurtured it. So you see a lot of also very sort of esoteric wine regions that we don't hear much about. Things like in Calabria, you see the grape Galliopo, which I highly recommend if you see it, and the estate Stati, S-T-A-T-T-I, can help you up in Maine. That's brought in, and it's again a wine to get to know. But I suppose the most famous wines that we're talking about, I should also mention Primitivo, which is also known as Zinfandel. That's also found in southern Italy, brought down from the Czech area by immigrants coming down that way. But yeah, going to Sicily. So Sicily, obviously, I hesitate to call Sicilians southern Italians because they don't regard themselves as Italian. Sicily is a very unique place unto itself. Not only was it taken over by the Greeks in this Magna Graecia movement, it was a caliphate of the Arabs for about 250 years. There's a tremendous amount of Muslim influence there. It's an island in the middle of the Mediterranean. They were taken over a lot. It happens. Subsequently, a lot of different grapes ended up there, and the grape we're going to be tasting today is Nero d'Avola, a wine that's certainly coming onto the American radar, the efforts of people like Eric Asimov in the New York Times and people like that. For people who like the grape Syrah, Nero d'Avola is a wonderful little way of, you know, trying something new. It's, you know, medium-bodied, spicy, juicy. Certainly, I mean, this one, you guys are tasting it. What do we think? Mm. Nice, easy to drink.
But it's got a little something there. There's a little character to it.
Yeah,
it's
this project, and I should get to the story behind this project, right? I think that this is Poggio Anima is the project, and it's not a single winery. It is a project of a very, very good importer in the United States that's hoping to get all these classic Italian varietals in the glasses of Americans. And so they've partnered with a fantastic winemaker from the Abruzzo region, another famous wine that we didn't get to touch, but we got time. We'll get there eventually. They partnered with him and said, you know, we need to find the best vineyard sites throughout specifically southern Italy and get these fantastic wines in packaging that will appeal to Americans. Now, the wine, again, we're on the radio, but we'll take a picture of it. So this is a winery that names each one of their wines after a demon or an angel.
I love the label.
And so this particular wine is monikered Asmodeus. Asmodeus is the demon that issued from the union of Adam and Eve fame. Adam was separated from Eve for 130 years, which is quite a long separation. You figured they would have worked it out by then,
yeah,
or
yeah,
not.
Yeah. No counselors at the time.
No, it's an interesting point. You know, if prostitution was the first profession, I don't know what marriage therapist was, 15th or 16th there, but I guess there was none. So Adam had apparently two affairs, and Lilith was one of the prostitute demons that he had some intimate goings on with. And out sprang Asmodeus, who, like all the other demons, is rife with chaos, but particular chaos in this case is lust. Mm. And so the reason that they chose this demon for this is a very sort of lustful, hedonistic wine.
It is, yes.
And so I think I've had a lot of bad Nero d'Avola, honestly. There's a lot of stuff out there that's just kind of junk. This is a really nice wine, very accessible, good way to kind of get to know the wines. And again, this is not directly from the slopes around Mount Etna, but important to realize that Sicily and the islands around Sicily are rife with volcanic activity. So a lot of that volcanic soil found all over there. And next month we'll start Spain.
Ooh.
And of course we do have the tastings next month, right, which will be on the 3rd and Wednesday and Friday respectively, which I believe is the 17th and 19th. Also, Tavolo, especially olive oils and vinegars, is having a Facebook contest. We are trying to get to 500 likes on our Facebook page. So if you go there and like us, we will then enter everybody's name into a random drawer machine thingy that my manager assures me works. And somebody will get a free 375-milliliter bottle of their choice for that. So, yeah, good times ahead. And don't melt.
You go.
Even though we're enjoying red, still rosé and white weather, even though we're talking about football, which does get me giddy.
Yeah.
I admit it. It's that odd time of year. Like, I don't want to see
football.
But I do want to see football.
But I can't wait. I'm still looking forward to it.
I can't help it.
Well, you go melt some faces here this week, too.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Cheers. Thanks, boys.
It's Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese, Crossroads Beverage Company. Go in and say hello. Of course, if you're in Newport, there at 19 Moosehead Trail and in Bangor, 86 Hammond Street, right on the hill there between Fiddlehead and Brahma Grill. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday afternoon on Downtown. 19 before the hour. Coming back, talk a little Patriots. Yeah, more football, right? Next hour of the show, Dennis Price with the Entertainment Report. And I'd like to give away some cash. Last time we did it, $160 freaking dollars. Are you kidding me? It won't be that today because we don't have any carryover money, but it could be up to $100.